A tale of bravery and a tale of a story that ended well, thankfully. This happened in Ballyhaig at the weekend. With me on the line to talk about this is internationally renowned fashion designer Don O'Neill, who was out for a swim on Saturday in Ballyhaig. Don, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
No problem. Tell me what happened from your point of view. When did you realise something was gone wrong with someone swimming?
Well, myself and Pascal had gone out for a swim ourselves that afternoon, and instead of going home as we normally would, we stopped off to see a friend of ours, Eileen Buckley, whose house is situated on the green overlooking the bay, and we sat up there to warm ourselves. And as we were sitting up there chatting, I thought I heard someone shouting in the water, and I didn't pay any attention because in Ballyhaig people are always having fun in the water and people would be shouting.
Yeah.
And I looked back and I saw someone out, which seemed to be, I thought, well, he's very far out, but I saw him waving. And I just assumed, as probably a lot of people do, I thought he was waving at someone on the shore to come out. Like, the water is lovely, coming out. Or I thought that was what the scenario was, and I didn't think too much about it. And then I thought I heard more shouting, and again, it was in the back of my head. I wasn't really paying attention to it. And then I thought I heard help. And then there was a moment of, like, surely
something's gone wrong here.
Help. And I think there was a brief moment of denial, and then I heard help really clearly, and I thought, crap. And my immediate instinct was, at that stage, I realized he's been out there for a while, and he hasn't been waving. He's been trying to get someone's attention, and he has been crying for help. And I just took off like a bullet. And before I knew it, I was in the water, swimming out to him. And I caught out of the side of my eye, I saw someone else running into the water. I'd seen someone on the edge of the water in a dry rope with a life ring in her hand. And I thought, well, that's never good. He's too far out. There's no good in throwing that out to him.
Yeah.
But a gentleman grabbed it from her, who, in hindsight, we now know is Donald Hanley. And basically, we're both thrown out to the man in distress, and he's continuing to cry for help. And as I'm getting closer to him, I'm like, I'm here. So don't panic. We're coming to get you. You'll be grand. And I got to him, and I said, I'm here, you're grand. And the poor man was in a state of stress and panic. And then I turned around to see where I was, and I'm like, oh my God, we're really far out. And at this stage, I was kind of tired myself.
Yeah.
And sort of in that moment of panic, like, what have I gotten myself into? Donald arrived with the ring. So we put the ring on the gentleman's chest and told him, grip onto that. And he was petrified. He was frozen with fear. And then we started, I hooked my arm around him to try and pull him back towards the shore. So we're making our way back, and Donald was behind me, and I could see there was a look of panic on his face. And I'm like, oh my God, are we really in this much trouble?
Yeah.
Because I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm okay, keep going. So we kept going, but I was getting nowhere. I'm like, this guy,
you were swimming, trying to make progress, but you weren't making any real progress to the shore.
No progress, and I felt like the shore was getting farther away, and I was getting tired. I'm like, oh my God, we're out here in the middle of the bay, all by ourselves. There's no plan B. There's no one coming to get us. It's just the three of us on our own. Anyway, I thought I just had to keep going, because what else could I do other than just keep going? And basically, which I found out in hindsight, we were in a rip current, and I didn't know it because I'm not that familiar with rip currents, and Ballyhaig isn't known for rip currents.
Yeah.
But afterwards, Donald, who it turned out is a scuba diver and knows the ocean really well, he knew that we were in rip current. And can I add, just to, if you're speaking of bravery, Donal himself, who had just arrived in Ballyhaig a minute earlier, literally, and had stopped off to take a picture of our beautiful bay with his family and heard the cry for help, stripped down to his underwear, took off his eyeglasses, which he needs for long distance. He needs them for seeing, period. So he was only going towards the sound of our voices, or the man's voice. He really couldn't see where we were. Jeez, Mac. Anyway, he arrived safely. And we eventually made it into the shore, and I have to say that the biggest relief of my entire life, because I was actually scared for myself as well, even though I didn't want them to know it, was when I put my foot on the sand, which seemed to take forever. And I said to Donald, "Jesus, I'm on the sand, I can touch the sand." And he said, I can't. Anyway, eventually we both got our feet on the sand, and we were able to bring the gentleman into safety. And then the emergency services were all lined up on the beach. Everyone had arrived at that stage, and there was the guards and the cliff rescue people had arrived, and there was an ambulance on the way. But what I discovered on the way in, the ring that we had put on the man's chest, the rope that's attached to it had tangled itself around the feet of Donald, so he actually couldn't swim. So he was in huge trouble behind me. And he was trying to keep up with us, and as when he slowed down to try and untangle his foot, the rip current was separating him from us, and he wanted to stay. He felt our only safety at the time was if anything happened and we were in trouble with that ring, the life buoy, that the three of us could hang on to it until,
yes.
I don't know who could have come to save us at that stage, but anyway, thank God it just all ended well, and
oh
we got
God.
The man to shore, and of course the poor man was in a state of shock, and he was mortified, and he himself didn't understand how he had gotten into difficulty, but sure, it was the currents that had carried him way beyond where he was, and he was way out of his depth, and then he panicked, and anyway, it was a nerve-wracking situation, but thank goodness it all ended well.
Thank God it did, Don. It's hard, and time, I know, either speeds up or slows down from talking to people who've been in these sort of emergency situations before. How long was it, that whole period? How long did it feel to you that you were in the water?
I have to say time stood still, because he was really far out, and I have to admit, I'm not the strongest of swimmers, but I felt like there was some superpower guiding me, because I arrived out there faster than I thought I could.
Yeah.
And when I got to him, I was exhausted, so I knew I'd swim way further than I could normally swim.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long it took me to get to him, but I just knew from the fact that he'd been shouting for help for so long, I thought, oh my God, that man has no time left. I didn't realize that he had the smarts to float on his back, which is advice to people. If you're in trouble in the water,
don't struggle.
Turn over on your back.
Turn over on your back and float.
And thank God
conserve energy.
And was floating. So at least he was still floating when I got to him, and then I was able to bring him back. And then coming back just seemed to take forever, because again, I couldn't understand why I was getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was getting tireder and tireder, and I was swimming harder and harder. But I guess, again, I don't know whether it was a superpower or what, but we must have gone diagonally across the rip current and come out of it. And then I was able to make progress and bring him in.
Did you think at any stage...
I
know, harrowing is the word. Did you think at any stage, oh my God, I could die here?
When I reached him and I turned around and I saw how far out we were, I'm like, and I was really tired, I'm like, oh my God. I realized the situation that I had gotten myself into, because it was pure instinct that got me out there in the first place. I just knew he was in trouble, and I thought, Jesus, no one's going to drown in Ballyhaig on my watch today. And that's
the
thought that went through my head. And I just zoomed. I mean, I was sitting with Pascal and Eileen, and literally they had gone to get binoculars just to see if the man was in trouble, because we couldn't tell. But my instinct I was just gone in 2 seconds. They turned around, and I was already out into the water on my way out to him.
My God. There was people in...
with Donald.
Yeah, Donald just instinct took over, and he went in, and then
his wife panicked, and she said, "Donald, don't go." And he said, "If I don't go, the man will die." And he just gone like a bullet.
You can understand the fear that's there from family members saying, "My God, if you go in, you'll drown too. It'll be a total disaster." And this is all in seconds when you're making these decisions to go or not to go.
And you don't make the decision, because I think if you make the decision, you might not go.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a there was no decision. It was the two of us found ourselves in the water. There was no decision. It was just the decision was go. There was no hesitation.
Yeah, yeah. Don, people were on the beach. They were saying the rosary while all this was going on.
There was, because the people on the beach were paralyzed with fear. They saw the danger. They saw a man about to drown. No one could do anything to help. None of them were in a position other than call 999 immediately.
Mm.
And then just all you can do is hope and pray that, A, we could save him, and then as for his family and my family, everyone's panicking that we don't drown ourselves either out there, because unfortunately a lot of these saving events can end up with everybody going down. So it was nerve-wracking, to say the least. But thank God everybody was so relieved, and there was tears of joy and tears of stress release, and I don't know what, when we got on the shore.
Adrenaline,
And we get on the shore, and Donal is, the people are telling us off, and he was obviously posing with it. I think we were both in a state of shock ourselves, but our focus was on the man himself. And Donal was saying to one of the guards that arrived, I just got to Ballyhaig, and I'm on my way to O'Neill's. And the guard said to him, do you know who that man is that you just came in with? Because he was staying at O'Neill's bed and breakfast.
You're not serious. Your family B&B.
That's not O'Neill that you just came in with.
Oh, my God.
From the B&B. So then it was actually, we both were back up here later that evening. And I think it was therapeutic for both of us to actually relive the experience from both of our perspectives and what we did, and how we shared how we were both in a state of panic and a little bit of fear, but we didn't want to discourage the other one because we knew we both needed each other to get this man to safety. So it was, thank God that serendipitously we were all in the right place at the right, time. And
you'd start thinking there's definitely something out there, a higher power, or you know, whatever you believe in, that there was something guiding you to be there at that time to save that man's life, to help in a situation.
Well, I'd always give my mom credit that she had something to do with it, to make sure that I made it back in safely. But we were definitely guided because we were out there in the bay on our own, and there was no plan B, or there was no more help coming. It was just us, and that was it. And we needed to get him in, and I don't know, I think it was just instinct or adrenaline that just takes over, and we headed for the shore. And as I said, thank God we got out of that rip current, because they're just not common.
And that's a warning, Don. That's like you said, Ballyhig is a safe beach. It's not known for rip currents. So is something changing there, or is it something that people need to be aware of? Wherever you are, you can get caught.
It's funny enough because that family that were staying with us, they came down from Galway, and they came through Ballybunion on Saturday. And they stopped off in Ballybunion, and the whole beach in Ballybunion was lined with flags or banners, rip currents, no swimming, the whole way across the beach. So Ballybunion Beach was closed to swimmers, because for some reason they still have lifeguards on, which is late in the season. I don't know why they have lifeguards, but thank God they did. And in Ballyhig, our lifeguards finished last weekend, so there was nobody on the beach, or rip currents, you really need to be a professional to recognize or see them, and they're definitely not. They're definitely not common in Ballyhig. It's a safe beach, but for some reason there must be some changes in sea currents or something is changing, but you just have to be careful. And I guess swimming on your own, just let know, don't be out there on your own. There should be someone around, or just make sure there's someone on the beach. It's funny, we met a man in the morning, a dear friend of ours from Cork that has a holiday home here in White's Caravan Park, in Casey's Caravan Park. Yeah. And he, in the morning when we were at, when Pascal and I were swimming and we saw him, he waved at us, and he says he never goes swimming unless he sees someone in the water, and he waves to them so that they know he's in the water. And that's very sage advice. Not to be out there on your own, just that someone knows you're out there just in case.
Yeah, because as you found, it took you a couple of minutes to figure out that that saying, you know, the saying is that they're not waving, they're drowning. It takes so long.
And it was bizarre. I mean, you hear that thing over and over again, and literally, he wasn't waving. He was drowning or in danger of, and in a state of panic. And anyway, thank God he had a good pair of lungs in him, and we were able to hear his cries for help, because he had been swept way out.
Yeah.
That was just, and that alone was a bit, for me, I'm like, some people do swim out really far, for what reason, I don't know, but they're probably very strong swimmers.
Yeah.
And I just thought, he's really far out.
Yeah.
But sure, he was. The poor man was caught in a rip current.
He was. How did Pascal react, your husband? He must have been absolutely terrified when he saw all this going on and saw you struggling to get him back into shore.
He was panicked. He has full confidence in me and my swimming skills. And he was on the shore literally after me, and was there when we came in. But I think a lot of he like everyone, I think their hearts were in their mouths, and when my dad heard, poor dad is did lifeguard training, and when he heard a friend call, said, "Jesus, Don has gone out, there's someone drowning," dad had a complete panic attack, because dad knows the danger of approaching someone who's drowning, which I was totally unaware of.
Yeah.
And how you're supposed to approach them from behind and catch them by the hair, and how you're supposed to bring them in, because they can bring you down in their panic.
Yeah.
And he knew I had no training, and he thought, he thought, Jesus, that I was gone. And he had that sense of panic. And then he was, as when I came home, he was telling me, this is how you should have brought him in, and this is what he should have done, which all of this training, which he had as a 14-year-old, is still vivid in his head.
Yeah.
And now that I've been through this situation, I myself, first of all, I guess on YouTube, but if I have the opportunity, I will take a lifeguard training course, because I think it's essential for any swimmer, if you have the opportunity to take one, that you know what to do in that situation, because we react, your gut instinct will have you in the water before you know it. But you really need to know what to do when you arrive at the person that's in trouble.
It can make
and
all
I
the
was
difference.
Fortunate. We were fortunate that the man was on his back in a state of panic, and we were able to just, it was just the feat of bringing him back against the rip current, but he wasn't in a state of panic and drowning where he was grabbing onto us and pulling us down with him. So at least, thank God, that didn't happen. And I wouldn't have known what to do in that situation. So that was a bit harrowing to think I put myself in that
situation
danger.
Where, yeah.
And I would have been out there in the water without thinking.
Yeah.
And then I would have found myself in a situation that I didn't know what to do. So again, thank God it all worked out. But a lifeguard training is definitely something that every swimmer should have at least the basics of and the know-how, because people are getting into trouble. They're out there in the water by themselves. And especially with all this winter swimming, there's no lifeguards on trouble. At least you'll be able to help them if you're in the situation, which I just think it's important to have.
Donal, as you said, he was there. He's from Limerick, so he was visiting the area.
Yeah, basically, they were celebrating his daughter's birthday, and they just came down to Ballyhaig, and they were going to stay at O'Neill's and have a nice leisurely walk on the beach and have dinner down at the White Sands, and it was just going to be an uneventful little happy family celebration. And Shirjini Mac, they had one of the most eventful, I mean, it was eventful and harrowing, and it was just a memorable weekend for them in Ballyhaig that just ended well. And and as I said, it was nice for all of us to be up here, and then they had I sat with them for breakfast the next morning when Patrick served them their breakfast, and it was just, again, it was just reliving what we've been through and how lucky we were.
Because it's trauma, the trauma of it, Dan, the trauma of it and yourself, you'll be thinking about it for a long time, I'd imagine.
Well, I'm sitting here right now and I'm looking out at the water, and it's kind of rough this morning because the weather is a bit inclement.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't trust the water. You have, it's a masterful body, and it has a mind of its own, and it needs to be respected. And I just think I learned a lesson that, I'm very careful myself. I never swim beyond my depth, and I swim parallel to the shore. When I do swim, I would never go beyond my depth, just because I know my limitations. But it's definitely an experience that will sit in my head for a long time. And I'm only happy that we were able to save that man, because that was my impulse was, he's not going to drown on my watch. And I just saw him being carried out, and he was in a state of panic. And anyway, just thank God. It's kind of harrowing when you think of what could have gone wrong, because we were all that close to it not being the happy story that we are able to tell today.
Well, look, there's lots of messages coming in, Don. I'm not surprised by Don's immediate response. He's a wonderful man, says Cathy Troth. It's an incredible story from Don O'Neill, related with typical modesty. He and Donal showed great courage. Well done, says Sean Lyons in Tralee. And that's just some of the comments coming in relation to what had happened. Look, Don, thanks so much. Well done again. And like you said, thanks so much to you and to Donal and for everyone who helped out on Saturday. And thanks for that warning as well. Great advice for people out there to respect the sea.
Yeah, respect the sea. And if you can, do a lifeguard training course for sure. At least get the basics, or YouTube, but just so you have an idea if you're ever caught in the situation yourself, that you can really help.
Yeah, it is. It is true words. Don, thanks so much for talking to us this morning, and enjoy the rest of your time in Ballyhaig.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for having me on this morning. Have a great day.
You too.